He is great indeed. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, whether we profess Him as great or not, He's still great. He's great just because He's great. I want you, if you would, to turn with me to Genesis. Did y'all know baseball was in the Bible, by the way? It says in the beginning. I think I've already used that one. It wasn't funny the first time either, I don't think. You know, Don, I appreciate you still being here. Don Poindexter came to me during the greeting time, and it was about, by his watch, it was about 15 till 12. And he said, "You got 14 minutes, and I'm out of here." So, Don, I appreciate it. Becky, did you make him stay? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The Lord has said to Abram, which later became, he became known as Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you." Do you ever wonder, have you ever heard people say that we as Christians and we as the United States need to be an ally of Israel? Here it is. That's why you hear that. "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." If you want to, you can flip over to chapter 17. God affirming and deepening this covenant with Abraham. Verse 7 of chapter 17, "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your," excuse me, "to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Without you, we're just here to enjoy each other's company. But Father, with you, with your Holy Spirit, we encounter you and we hear from you, and you stir us and change us. And that's what we ask for this morning, God. Send your Spirit, speak in power and authority, and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm starting this morning a three-week sermon series called Created for Covenant. And we're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about covenant and what that means, that God is a God of covenant, and He is calling us to be people of covenant. And we're going to explore that a little bit deeper over these next 3 weeks. This first week is Created for Covenant, God to His people. Did you know that God is a God of covenant? I mean, if we look at God Himself, that we as Christians, we understand that God is three in one, three persons in one God: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So there's this covenant, even who He is. He's in covenant, and He has called us to be people of covenant, and He has created us for covenant. No better way is that illustrated than marriage. Now, we had a fairly significant marriage that took place in my family about a month ago. And I started to play this for you, but I didn't want to send you in culture shock. But there, if you weren't there at the wedding, there's a movie. There's a movie called Princess Bride. Anybody seen Princess Bride? Anybody remember the marriage scene in Princess Bride? I'll just tell you about it, and so you won't stroke out in church, you know. But there's a scene where the wicked king is marrying the princess, and they're in this formal sanctuary, and this really loud and elegant church organ is playing, and this priest comes out and he's got this hat on, you know, and he comes out and you're expecting this grand moment, and the organ music stops and there's silence and you're waiting for him to speak, and he's holding his Bible and he says, "Marriage! Marriage is what brings us together today." Anybody seen that scene? Sounds just like him, doesn't it? I did that at Jordan and Chance's wedding. I started to do it at Jared and Rachel's wedding, but I didn't know Rachel and her family that well, and I thought they might kill me. But I knew at least half of this family and thought I could get away with it. But God uses the covenant of marriage as a sample of His covenant with us. It says throughout Scripture that God is, well, let me just, in Isaiah 54:5, it says that God is the husband. Have you ever heard that referred to? God is the husband of His people. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name. That's in Isaiah 54:5. And then in the New Testament, we have this imagery of Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride. So God illustrates covenant with us through marriage. Now, the problem is, for us, we can't even get marriage right. We can't. I mean, as a culture, we're messed up. You know, we don't understand marriage. And I've sometimes when I'm doing premarital counseling for a couple, sometimes I just to kind of get them on their toes, I start out and I say, "I was thinking about doing the vows a little different for this wedding. Let me see what you think." And I'll use Chance and Jordan since that was our most recent wedding. What if I say, "Jordan, will you have Chance to be your husband, to live together in holy marriage? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live?" And you could answer, "I will if he will." Don't you think that would work out well? I mean, we may not say that at the marriage ceremonies, but really, aren't we really processing in our brain, "I will if she will, I will if he will"? And then I tell them that we could also, when we move into the vows, what about this? "In the name of God, in the name of God, I Chance take you, Jordan, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, as long as it's mostly better, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, as long as it's mostly rich and healthy, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death, as long as she loves and cherishes me. This is my solemn vow." Isn't that what we really have made marriage? And I want us to understand that's not the way God has designed marriage to be, and that's not the way God has created covenant to be. So I want to talk just a second about what we have done with that word covenant, and what we have done with that is we have, and we see it in our marriage, but we also see it with our relationship with the church. Now, I'm gonna really, these next 3 weeks, I want you to know, I'm going to stretch you. Might offend some of you, and I'm not setting out to offend, but sometimes when we need our toes stepped on, it hurts. And so please understand that's not my goal. But I was talking with Ryan Goodwin, who most of y'all know Ryan, cheerleader. You know who I'm talking about now. And Ryan is a young man that grew up in our youth group and still works with our college ministry and is now the pastor at Tuscola United Methodist. And we were talking about some families that had returned to their church since he got there. And I asked him about a specific family that I knew of. And he said, "They're church hoppers." I said, "What? What are you talking about?" "Well, they'll go here for a little bit and they'll go here a little bit. And as long as things are suiting them with that one, they'll stay till the things don't suit them." And guys, that's not what God has created in covenant. This conditional covenant is not what God has done. What we have done is we have turned marriage and we've turned our relationship with the church, we've turned it into a contract. And I want to talk about those the difference between a contract and a covenant. And the first thing on a contract It is generally made for a specific period of time. And we, most of us, have gotten loans for vehicles or homes or whatever. I remember the first thing I borrowed money for, my dad took me to the bank and helped me get my credit established and borrowed money for a guitar. You know, that was I'll always remember that. My first loan was for a guitar. But it's, you know, they say, okay, we're going to loan you this money for 3 years, and you pay back each, you know, for a certain amount each month, and at the end of that 3 years, you will have paid off your loan. And so that's a contract, generally made for a specific period of time. And it's, secondly, a contract is motivated by desire to get what we want. I wanted that guitar. And so I was willing to go to the bank and pay some money, and they were willing to loan it to me with the caveat that I pay some interest, and they would make some money on the deal also. And the third thing about a contract, it's based on this if-then mentality. If you make your payments, you get to keep your guitar. That was the condition. If you make your payments, you get to keep your guitar. Guess what? If I didn't make my payments, there's going to be a banker playing my guitar. That's a contract. And we have created this relationship with God, with this relationship that we have with one another, as we've made it a contract. If you do these things, church, as long as you meet my needs, then I'll be loyal. I'll do this stuff. Don't even do it with God. And Cliff, thank you for that awesome word this morning, that testimony of it blessed me. But too many times we say, as long as I'm healthy and things are going well, God, I'll be a Christian. I'll sing your praises. But as soon as we run into the trials of life, which Jesus said were going to come, as soon as we run into those trials of life, it's like God did that to me. God did that to me. He's taken away the blessing because I'm not healthy and things are happening with my family, my relationships and all. So we have this if-then mentality even with God himself. But covenant, and that, remember, God is not a God of contract. God is a God of covenant. Let's look at covenant for a minute. Covenant is made as a permanent commitment. When we stand before one another in a marriage ceremony, we don't say, jokingly, I said, I'll do it if he will. We don't say that. Our vows are, I promise to love and to cherish and through sickness and health and forsaking all others. It's a promise that we are making to the other person before God and before our family and friends. And so that's a covenantal statement we make in marriage through the vows. It's a permanent commitment. Second thing for covenant, it's motivated for the benefit of the other person. How many of us, if we're really honest, and by the way, I fail this one, how many of us go into marriage thinking, and I'll use myself an example, I did not go into marriage thinking, golly, you know, I'm looking forward to making Cheryl happy the rest of her life. I can't wait to serve Cheryl. I was 19 and I was a moron, more so than today. I know that's hard to believe, but I didn't go into marriage thinking, man, what an opportunity to serve and bless my wife. We don't do that. What do? Man, I can't wait till she can serve and bless me. Don't we do that? Isn't that what we do? But see, covenant is motivated for the benefit of the other person. God also made a covenant with Noah. And he said, build the ark, and I'm going to and do all this stuff, bring the animals and bring your family and all into the ark, and I'm going to save you from this destruction that's coming. And God didn't make that covenant with Noah because he needed an ark. He made the covenant with Noah to save Noah and to bless Noah and his family. So it's motivated for the benefit of the other people. Are we starting to get the sense of what covenant really is? And finally, covenant, the last thing I want to mention is that it's based on an enduring and steadfast love. So it's this motivation to benefit the other person, and that motivation is just because I love them. And so God has created covenant with us, not because, did you know that God is not needy? Did you know that? God is not a needy God. He does not need our praise. He does not need intimacy with us. God is God, and He's doing quite fine just all by Himself. No, God created covenant with us, and He created us to love us, to so that He could bless us, and so that we could have this awesome, loving and enduring, steadfast love from God Himself, and we would have covenant and relationship with Him. That's why God created us, not out of need. So I want us, as we understand, and I want, as the backdrop, covenant and contract, the contrast of those two things, I want us to look at three things about covenant today. Number one is that God desires covenant with you. God desires covenant with you. He told in the illustration that we'll get there where we understand more about this covenant with Abraham in just a moment and how that impacts us. But let's look at Abraham for just a minute. At 75 years of age, God told Abraham, pack up your stuff, gather up your family, do all this, gather all these things, and just go. He didn't say, he didn't map it out for him. He didn't say, here's go, and here's what I'm going to, what's going to happen, and you're going to settle into this wonderful place, and you're going to have, you know, all this blood. He just said, go. So Abraham packed up his stuff, and he went. But he did give him promises with the covenant. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will give you a promised land. I will make you a blessing to others. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And I will make that covenant with your descendants. And your descendants, even though at 75 years of age at this point, Abram did not have any children. And he said, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. So God is indeed this God of covenant. And those covenants come with promises. Second thing, God is faithful to His covenant. And again, I'm not to harp on this. And certainly, please do not feel condemnation if you have been divorced or anything. That's not what this is about. And certainly, God is a God of grace and mercy. So please understand that that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the covenant relationship of marriage is a mess for our nation. It's just a mess, and for the church, it's a mess. So God is faithful to His covenant. Unlike us, many times when we make covenant with one another and even with God Himself, we are not always faithful, but God is. God is faithful. He initiated this covenant with Abraham at 75 years old, and Sarah, it took 25 years for God to fulfill. He said He's going to make this mighty nation. You're going to have all these descendants. Sarah was, by the way, 25 years later, Sarah finds herself 90 years old, and Abram, which is now Abraham, finds himself 100 years old. No children. 25 years after the promise was made from God, can you imagine that they might have been thinking, okay, God, the clock is ticking, I'm 90. You think any of that was going on? But here's what God says in Exodus 6, and He said this to Moses. He said, I have remembered my covenant. God is a God that remembers, and He is faithful. If God promises it, it's going to happen. God said, I have remembered my covenant. I will redeem you. This is when the nation of Israel found themselves enslaved at the hand of the Egyptians. He said, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. So God doesn't forget. When God promises, He is faithful. Third thing, you, church, you and I are heirs to this covenant through Jesus Christ. God told Abraham that He was going to be a great nation. He was going to bless him, and he was going to be have a great name and have this promised land, be a blessing to others, an everlasting covenant, and that his descendants would be greater than the stars in the sky. And God came through for you and I through the person of Jesus Christ. Now listen to Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, do you belong to Christ this morning, church? If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. You see, we have, through Christ, we have been adopted into, the scripture says we have been grafted in to this covenant that God made with Abraham as his people. So you now, church, have been made heirs to this promise. All the promises that God made Abraham, he has made those to you as well through Jesus Christ. Now, we celebrate that in a very real way. And we're going to spend two more weeks talking about Abraham. I want to set the stage today for us to understand that, number one, God is a God of covenant. And number two, you and I are part of that covenant. We have been adopted in as heirs into that covenant. I was visiting with someone this morning about adoption, just so happened, and about being chosen, the blessing of being chosen, if you're adopted, and how, I mean, I've used this imagery before, but it just really sticks with me. I can just see God walking through, and like we're in this orphanage, we're homeless and we're parentless and we're helpless. And I can see God walking through, and he comes to us and he says, I take that one. I take him. I take her. That one right there. And he adopts us into his family, and he makes us heirs of this promise through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, the night that he was to be betrayed, we pick it up in Luke 22. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and Jesus said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So you see, Jesus himself takes us from the old covenant, the covenant of the law, the covenant of Abraham, and he grafts us in. He adopts us in through this new covenant established in his blood. As we come this morning, like we do every month, we come to partake of this meal. You know, I say this often because I want you to understand that this is a costly meal. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's a costly meal. Done. This meal was established by Christ himself. We just read the scripture that counts that. This was established in a costly manner for you and I. This everlasting covenant that Christ has made in his blood out of love. This everlasting, steadfast love. And Jesus did indeed take the bread and he broke it, knowing that was symbolic of a broken body that would be broken the very next morning. And he said, this is broken for you. And he says that to us this morning. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood. Drink from it and remember the sacrifice that I have made. If you would just for a moment, I'm going to ask you, the invitation comes from Christ. And the invitation is this. If you repent of your sin and you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're invited to this table. The invitation is not my invitation. It's not our church's invitation. The invitation is from Christ himself. The table is Christ's table. And so you do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be a member of this denomination. You are welcome to this table if you repent of your sin and you invite Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So the first thing we need to take care of is repenting of our sin. We don't come to this table as a perfect people. We come to this table as a forgiven people. And so I ask you, if you would, just bow your heads and pray your own personal prayer of confession before a holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. If those who are serving in our praise team and sound team would come forward, please. Christ has invited you to his table. We have four serving stations on the centers here and on the side that you would be given a piece of bread and you dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The center aisle here, if you would like to be served with the smaller cups, you can come to this center aisle. The altar rail is open.
I will bless the Lord forever. I will
Back there? Okay. Why don't you, y'all come on out. Come on out, guys. Yeah. Kent and Cole Trumbull. You got it? Just, why don't you come stand right here on this tall one? I'm glad it's warm. We tried it. Man, we, this ain't no rinky-dink outfit here. Kent and Cole have been talking to mom and dad and grandparents and me about this moment, about accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and asking Him in your heart. And we've talked, and we're going to baptize you guys one at a time in a minute, but together I want to ask you that we talked about that word sin and what that means. It's just not doing things that aren't pleasing to God and in our life. Do you repent of that? Do you say you're sorry for the sin in your life? Amen. And you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart?
Yes, sir.
And you want to be baptized and tell the world that you belong to Him?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Who wants to go first? Okay. They had this worked out. Okay. Cole, right? You're Kent. You're Cole, right? Why don't you come right back up here with Mom and let him have the, and if you'll go down in that lower one. Okay, Kent, if you'll sit right there, Kent. Dad, come around here. You want to help? You might, you know, we might get you out of there and not get you back up. Dad can help me lift you back up. You want to take your watch off, or is it waterproof? All right. Kent, I baptize you in the name. Hold your nose, big guy. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Woo! All right. Swap places, Mr. Cole. You come down here. You know the ropes. Sit right there and hold your nose. Cole, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Stay right there. Before you draw, come right back down. Mom, you want to swing around here so you can get a hand on them? If any family friend, anybody want to come up here as I pray over them, y'all feel free. Little brother and cousins, Sunday school teachers. Awesome. You guys got a lot of people that love you. Did you know that? Including Jesus. If you can't reach them, just grab a shoulder in front of you. Father, we give you thanks that you sent your Son, Jesus, and you have made a way for us to be in covenant and be in relationship with you. And Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that we symbolically is just over these two guys, that it covers them. It covers them from past and future and present sin in their life, God. And I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, God, from the top of their head to the tip of their toe, that they would just have so much of you that it just leaks on other people, God, and just bless them and empower them with your giftedness of your Holy Spirit, God, and just bless them. And I pray for this family and these friends that have come, and that they would be a support group for these two little guys as they grow up, God. And I thank you for Jesus and what he has done for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go and tell someone we are dismissed.
How great is our God? Sing with me. See you.